Well, it's the new year, and I was going to preach this last Sunday, but most of my sermon from last week was the same, but it's just a week a little later on. But it's a new year, and I always liked the New Year times because it's always time to reflect upon the old and look forward to what's new, okay? It's kind of a way of the nature of time because we can never go back to our past. We can never relive what we've already done. And we can only look ahead, but it's also sometimes helpful to look back and kind of look and observe for a little bit at least. We don't want to dwell there, but look for a little bit about what happened in the last year and how we've grown and where we're at today and how we want to plan on growing. It's kind of one of those transitional times. We can look to change what will be. We can look forward and plan and adapt and have influence on what is still ahead because of what we've seen in the past. The hope of the future is still unknown, and we're looking about where we came from and looking ahead to make some significant alterations sometimes, so our future will be an improvement upon where we were last year and what we've taken place. And this last year, we at Groveland Missionary Church have grown. We might not have grown too much as far as numbers of people in the pews, but I hope that some of the things that we've learned in the services, in our worship times together, has grown us as Christians in our spiritual life. Other factors around us have not changed as far as COVID or cultural wars or political infightings, but I hope we've changed because of how close we've been with God in this place. We've gathered as a body of believers, and we've learned more about His Word and how we can apply it to our lives. And I hope that we sense God's presence with us every single week as we gathered here for worship and praise. And I'm grateful that this last year, in 2021, we didn't have to close our services like we did back in 2020, and we had the big outbreak there, and we were able to worship every Sunday last year, other than the one that we canceled that I'll talk about in a minute. But we were able to praise God, and it was very wonderful. And I was going to say, we did not have to be as stringent with our social distancing, but that's coming back. We're going to just, again, start masking up again as this Omicron variant seems to be going around. But I'm praising God that He's laid it upon the hearts of our people here to give and to come service after service, and how we are back again this year, and how even this last year, as we'll see at the end of the service, we were in the black this year financially. And so I hope that will continue as we support the work of this church in this coming year, and as we worship together faithfully, not only in the ministry, but that God will grow you individually as well. And so this last year, we've looked at many aspects of our Christian walk and our fellowship with one another. And if you guys remember, our verse last year was from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It was on the front of our bulletin every week, and it says, "Let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And that was kind of our theme for the whole year. And that's kind of where I kind of based on some of my sermons from, and how I kind of pointed back to that every so often, because that's what I wanted us to do, that we'd had this idea of spurring one another on toward loving others and toward having good deeds. And I hope this has been something that each of us has taken strides in this last year. And most of the sermons have been based upon this theme in one way or another, but I'm going to take several minutes here to kind of look back upon some of the things we've learned this last year, because we've come quite a way in our spiritual walk. And I want to kind of remember those lessons that we've kind of learned and kind of remember them in our minds this morning. We started off the year in the book of Judges, and I started the series off with the title Judging the Times. And it's very interesting because I wanted to take an Old Testament book and kind of say, how would this look in our modern times? And it looked very similar. Some of the same problems and situations that they were dealing with back in the book of Judges could be easily related to what we were going through, especially at the beginning of last year, if you remember all the turmoil in that, and how it was a chaotic time, both in the times of Israel and 2021, right at the beginning of the year. Because as I looked around at our time, especially at the beginning of that year, there was chaos everywhere. I mean, with the elections just happening and the things going on with COVID being rampant, new president coming in, a new Congress and everything, and it was very chaotic. There was several protests and some violence around there as well. But we saw that the Bible does have an answer for our modern times. But the people of Israel were facing many of the same conflicts and troubles that we're facing today. And God sent certain individuals along to kind of confront the people of God and to bring them back into line with His plan and will for them. And these people were called judges, but they were ordinary people that God had raised up and used to rescue and restore God's people. We looked at people like Ehud, who in his day was very unique because he was left-handed. And so he was a left-handed judge, and that was what made him stand forth. But he used an uncouth way of leading God's people by actually assassinating the foreign king at the time. And I told you at the time, I don't recommend that when facing our leaders today, but God used this uncouth way of Ehud to accomplish the undertaking that God called him to do. And so we talked about Ehud there. We talked about Deborah, who was a unique judge because she, as we learned from her, that God brings deliverance from unexpected sources. And this woman who was a judge, and even the woman in the story brought the end of the reign of the persecution of God's people because of what Deborah did. But that we also learned in that story that God wants to use us, but we have to be willing. We talked about Balak in that story as well, who should have been a judge, but he didn't take the responsibilities because he just wasn't willing to. And so God couldn't use him. And God used those that were willing, even a woman at this point. We looked at one of my favorite judges, Gideon, and how this timid, frail judge who went against the odds was victorious. And when he faced a huge Midianite army, with God's help, it only took 300 men to defeat this enormous army, and how God was with us and helps us when the numbers are against us, because he removes the boasting and we can give more glory to God. It removes our fears because we can't do anything anyway, so we might as well not to worry, but we can rely upon God and allow him to help us and trust to him despite the large numbers that be against us. Abimelech and Jephthah were two other judges who tried to use their own cunning and deception for their own glory, but found themselves being used by God to rescue Israel against, even despite their own faults and failings. And speaking of failings and cunning and deception, we came to Samson at the end and how he was filled with the Spirit and yet tempted by the devil. Kind of a contrast there, how he's noble at the beginning and had a very sad ending. And he was a deliverer that really never delivered. He was someone that was filled by the Spirit to do amazing things, but fell to temptations. And the devil fell to prey to the devil time and time again. He was someone that should have delivered, but never did what God called him to do. And so I use this picture here during that sermon on Samson about how contrasting he was. This is actually a neighborhood, I think in India, is this one? Yeah, I think this is from India. It's actually not a Photoshop thing. This is actually a neighborhood from an aerial view of one neighborhood where you see drastic contrast and how we shouldn't be like that, how we should have that potential like on the one side and not fall to the temptations and sin and so be so dualistic. And so that was a very strong mystery that I remembered even from last year. The next Sunday after that was Valentine's Day, and unfortunately, that was the Sunday that we had to cancel last year. It was on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, and we had snow, kind of like we did today, and it was icy, and so we canceled it. So I was not able to preach to you that sermon from the pulpit, but I did preach it online about love and how God's message of love wants to be our Valentine. I took the scripture from John 3:16, the greatest love story that was ever told, and how God sent his son to die so that we can have life. That was the message of Valentine's Day. But when we got back into our building the next week, I started a 15-part series on the one another's in the Bible. You know, the love one another's type of thing that we talked about that are mentioned throughout the Bible, and how we can be a body of believers, how we can fellowship together, how we can love one another, how we can work together, and so to show how God works in our lives. And again, this is going off from the Hebrews 10:24 theme that contains one of the one another's that spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And we looked at over 20 different love one another or different passages that have one another's in them over those last 15 weeks. Different passages, things like do not lie or deceive one another. Be at peace with one another. Do not grumble with one another. Be devoted to or honor one another. Accept or stop judging one another. We talked about instructing and teaching one another. Being in agreement with one another. confessing our sins to one another and praying for one another. That was a very unique service as well. How we are to, not to provoke or slander one another, but instead to edify and encourage one another, to greet one another with the holy kiss. Everyone remember the holy kiss time? And we didn't do the actual kissing. That was, again, during the COVID time. But we discussed what that type of greeting might be. We talked about offering hospitality to one another, forgiving one another, some other little ones added in there, to serve one another. And, of course, it all concluded with the overarching command that covers them all, but kind of these kind of play out what it really means to actually love one another. And that's the command that Jesus gave many times. There's 17 times, I believe, in the New Testament that it talks about love one another. And Jesus says, hey, this is a new commandment that covers all these one another's. And by following all these one another's, we show love. And this is what the world is looking for. This is how they know that we are Christ followers, that we are Christians, that we are his disciples, if we love one another. And so how important it is to put these aspects of these one another's into play. And one of the messages I will not soon forget is the one I preached early on when I played this song. Here because that was a wonderful song there that we talked about grumbling and how I will not soon forget that message. But I also liked the one in that series that ended just before our message on love one another because it was a powerful reminder of what Jesus did to show love. And he said in John chapter 13, says it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had wrapped around him. That passage concludes in this way. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And that was one of those servant moments that we should wash one another's feet, and how Jesus was an example, an act of love that Jesus did that we too are commanded to do so, to love in that way. And of course, this was all summed up by a song that Michael Card played, that I played on that Sunday. Let's listen to that song.
Come there's room. A parable is just about to come alive. And while they bicker about who's best, with a painful glance, he'll silently rise. Their Savior's servant must show them how, through the will of the water and the tenderness of the tide. And the call is to community, the impoverished power that sets the soul free. In humility, to take the vow, the day after day we must take up the basin and the towel.
Again, serving was an act of love for Jesus. And so Jesus was the one who set the example. And so he did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve. So again. And during that 15 sermon series, we had several different pauses during the different holidays for Palm Sunday. You might remember, I'm just going to leave it there for a minute, because Palm Sunday, you might recall that I did a sermon for the first person. How I pretended I was a Jewish man that had brought their family to the tabernacle that day of the triumphal entry of Jesus, and how he explained the ways in which he was looking for the Messiah, and how the Messiah was seen as this lamb, and how the lamb was going to be sacrificed, and the whole idea there about who the Messiah might be in the triumphal entry of Jerusalem, and his thoughts on who the Messiah might be. And many of you enjoyed that perspective on that day from the person that may have been there. It was just from my imaginations. It wasn't from any scriptures or anything, but I kind of blended in the scriptures about who Jesus was seen as that day, as he came in as a Messiah on a donkey. And so I hope you enjoyed that sermon. And many wanted me to conclude that sermon the next week in the same first-person narrative, but I instead focused at Easter on answering the question, who is Jesus? And all these questions that have been risen even since Jesus was in our modern times. Is Jesus, who is he? And I kind of adapted Josh McDowell's outline from More Than a Carpenter and asked, is he just a regular saint? Is he a reluctant Savior, or is he truly who he said he was, the risen Son of God? And so it was one of those Easter Sundays that I enjoyed talking about how Jesus came as a Messiah to come and save us. He came to die and to rise again for our salvation. We also included Mother's Day during that time. And for Mother's Day, I spoke about a mother's faith in 2 Kings chapter 4, whose husband had died and who came to Elisha for help. And how her faith, even to ask him for help, was a big step of faith. And to approach her neighbors for all these jars, empty jars that she could fill with oil. And how she acted upon that faith by actually filling those jars and expecting more to come, but they ran out. And so this was the kind of faith that we needed in order to see God's blessings upon our lives. For Memorial Day, Pastor Marvin came on Memorial Day and spoke about waiting on the Lord and the need for that. And that was a very special service as well. Father's Day, I wanted to keep the same kind of faith focus that I had on Mother's Day, and so I tried to find someone in the Bible, a male that had faith in God, and the one I came up with was actually the book that's named after a woman, and primarily focused on these two women, Ruth and Naomi. We talked about Boaz that week, and talked about his three G's, how he was gracious and generous and gentle. With this unique individual with this foreigner Ruth, and how Ruth became part of the messianic line. And of course, during that service, with Father's Day and dad jokes being so popular, I couldn't help but show you this video.
Okay, dads, let's go ahead and get started, guys. Now, some of you have already let me know how uncomfortable you were in last week's meeting. So tonight, we're going to try to respect each other's boundaries.
What?
Tonight, we've also got a guest with us, David. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm David.
David.
How many kids do you have, David?
None. At least, not at the moment. My wife is pregnant, and she should be delivering any day now.
That's great.
Super. Oh,
great. Awesome.
Who'd like to go first? Anyone. Anyone.
I'll go.
Perfect. Todd, yes.
My daughter and I went to the mall, and she said she wanted to take the stairs to the second level. And I said, I don't trust stairs, because they're always up to something.
Todd, I'm sorry that happened. Okay. I encourage you to try to resist the urge to make jokes like that.
My turn? Can I go? Okay. Yesterday, actually, my daughter got home and she asked me how my day was. And I said, well, a guy tried to sell me a coffin, but that's the last thing I need.
Jerry, that joke is dead on arrival.
Because it's the last thing I need.
David, how about you? Oh, I didn't say this is a safe zone. Just jump on in.
Yeah, I guess I'm just scared of being a dad. I'm afraid I'm going to start telling bad jokes just like my dad.
Well, it might be in our nature. We can fight against it.
Hey, speaking of nature, I tried to catch some fog yesterday. I missed. M-I-S-T.
Oh, you're a monster. This is where the boundary is.
I'm done.
This is where you are.
Hello? Really? Okay, yeah, no. Yeah, I'll be right there. That was Julie. Her water just broke. I guess the baby finally ran out of womb. I'm gonna be a dad.
Don't you think it should be going?
Oh, yeah.
So I told my wife she drew her eyebrows too high. She seemed surprised.
Dad's an important job, so thank you for your dads out there. After that series, Pastor Marvin filled in a couple times as well. Well, I was in Florida for the conference. He talked about living for Jesus and for the faith that we can have. But when I got back, we started a new series called Why Are We Here? And we noted that what our purpose was here, both here at the church, both individually, how we are purpose in the world. We talked about various ways in which we can answer this question, why are we here? And we started off in Jeremiah 29, that we said that God's plans are for our good, and that he wants to prosper us, but he wants to prosper us where we're planted. How that context of Jeremiah 29, the people were in actually Babylon, and Jeremiah says, hey, make yourself comfortable over there. You're going to be there for a while. Prosper where God has planted you, but his plans are going to continue being for your good, and that if you obey, it's going to bring blessings. And so that tremendous passage there in Jeremiah, he talked about that, about what our importance is as individuals and how we are to be disciples and be those who tell others, not just good people, but tell others about Jesus and what God has done for us. We talked about how we are to worship corporately and what worship is. That worship is an active response to who God is and whereby declaring his worth. And so I like that idea of active, how sometimes we can't worship sometimes at home because we're not active. I mean, we're here at church, we're standing, we're singing, we're praising God, we're at home. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to sing while you're at home, even though you might be all alone. It just worship services are corporate, and we need to be worshiping together. There are many different ways and forms of worship, and they all lift up God. And we talked about the problems sometimes people have, that they make the mistake of their own personal preferences. Well, I like hymns over choruses, or choruses over hymns, or I like lots of singing, and I don't like lots of singing, and how different forms of worship lifts us up in different ways. But it's not us that we need to focus on, it's God. God is the focus of our worship, and it should be God-centered. We looked at our prayer life and how our prayer ministry is not just communication with God that we have, but it also is something that we can pray for others and can be a ministry for others, how we can pray for others, lift them up in prayer. This was something that we looked at in our prayer for one another as we looked at the one another's, but here we noted how Paul used this kind of a ministry, and even in his letter says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you might be built up. I'm praying that you might be healed. I'm praying that you might do all these things. We talk about how prayer ministers to one another and how that's a very important part of our ministry. The fourth week, we focus on our outreach, how we have missionaries overseas and how we looked at how God calls some people to plant outreach locally. We looked at our outreach around here in Groveland and how we need to be people who sometimes plant, sometimes water, but God's when it grows. And then we need to be ready when God brings in the harvest, that we can be harvesters. And we looked at those passages there in John chapter 4. And that each step of the way we need to focus on and fulfill. And I told you that some of our events in our church, like a movie night, is kind of like a planting. It's just kind of throwing the seeds out there and say, hey, come and you're welcome. And it's not spiritual in any way, but it's planting the seed that we are here ready to accept and willing to do community things. That things like our parents set out, like we had this last Friday, are kind of watering things, where we kind of water that seed and give us more opportunities for families and focus on the kids there. And then I hope that I foresee that we will have a great harvest here coming, that we'll fulfill some of these pews some more, and that we can fellowship and work together. How each step is important as we look at our outreach here as a church. Then the next Sunday, we had a great time looking at all the different missionaries we support globally. How we support missionaries in Latvia and in Russia. And we looked at all these individual missionaries that we support, and you'll see in our budget here, we're going to continue to support them at their current rates as we did last year. But we went through the names, and I'm going to go through the names here again with their pictures, so that way, again, you keep them in mind as we continue this next year, praying for these missionaries as we continue our support for them and ministry to them. I'm not going to give their last names because some of them are in countries that are kind of sensitive to the gospel, and we don't want to bring harm upon them anyway. Well, we have Rick and Moderna in Latvia. They're a wonderful couple there with a son, Noah, there. We have John and Julie, who serve in Russia at the university there in St. Petersburg. We have Josh and Sarah, and they just have five kids, or four kids pictured there, but they have a fifth kid that's in their new thing now that they just adopted. So remember, Josh and Sarah. We have Nathan and Amy, who are ministering in Greece. in Thessalonica. We have Jeff and Shauna and their family who are ministering in Asia, kind of one of those countries that is kind of hostile to the gospel, so we're just going to say Asia. We talked about Zambia, Shauna, Shallon, I should say. Shallon in Zambia, and how she's is home right now, and she's going to go back hopefully maybe this month, but we're not sure. So continue praying for her. And then we have some stateside ones that we pray about for, and we pray for Kent, Dwayne and Cheryl, Sherry in Colorado and their family as they minister there. We pray for Ken and Stephanie. They're in China. They're now with a Leadership Development International team. But they teach English there in China, English as a second language. And we have support Todd and Hannah in California. They're with a new mission organization called Mission Made Simple that was Generation Church. And so they have their family out there in California working, kind of correlating with missionaries out there. And they're all part of that we actually financially support. But we do have some others that we pray for as well. We pray for Lisa. And she's in the United States right now with her daughter in Florida. But she's thinking about going back and trying to get her visa ready for that. And we also pray for Larry and U in Indonesia. And continue lifting them up. And again, I want to point out our bulletin board out there that has in our foyer that has a map pointing to where all these are serving. And then there's another board out there with letters and cards. And like I said, last time we met, last year in December, that several Christmas cards are out there that they sent greetings and some of the things that that they do overseas and some of their updates for the year. And as we'll see in the time after the service this morning, that we are going to continue to support these fully, these missionaries. And that's more than 10% of our budget. That's devoted just to those people who are not ministering in our community but are reaching out in our mission worldly. And so we talked about them. Our next series was one of the last series of the year, was The Way Through the Wilderness, and how we looked at the book of Exodus and how God gave the people of Israel there in slavery in Exodus, in Egypt, a way out, a way through the wilderness, and how God, even in our lives, when we feel that we're struggling or in times of trouble or in wilderness type of experiences where the prayers of God just seems to bounce off the ceilings or we're just not feeling God's presence with us fully in the day to day, that we all go through those times of dry spells, but it's okay because God brings us through those wilderness and God brings times of trouble and difficult circumstances in our lives, excuse me, to teach us different things. We learn through the book of Exodus, several ways in which God helps us. He calls his people and calls up leaders, even people who are unnamed, we saw in that first service there. He works behind the scenes and starts a process. He promises deliverance. He provides opportunities like the plagues in Egypt to show how he's so powerful and working among them. He provides doors that are open, just as he did to the Jews in the Passover. He parts the waters in our lives just as he did with the Israelites in the Red Sea. And though we might not see the parting of the waters in our lives, that God still brings us through those. And it reminds me of the passage in Isaiah 43:2 that says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." It's kind of one of those things that God leads us through the passage. He doesn't lead us around them or over them or takes them off our path, because there's important lessons we need to remember with our struggles and pains. There's certain lessons that can only come when we're struggling and we're wondering where God is at. We rely upon him more and he supplies our needs. And I remember that amazing picture of the rock there where Moses held his hand, where in the rock in Saudi Arabia, near where the real Mount Sinai might look, and it looks like God naturally split open the rock to let the waters out, how God provided water for his people and food during his times in the wilderness. We saw how God fought for his people and how that famous battle where Moses held up his hands until the victory was won, and how he had support for that as well. And God fights for his people, how God gives us gives them the victory. And he gives us commands. We talk about the Ten Commandments the next week, and how that relates to God vertically, and also how we relate with people on a horizontal level as well, horizontal level. I remember that, remembered horizontally. But God did all these things to help bless us and to correct us. And how God agrees to go with his people, even though they might have sinned and had the golden calf there. We saw during that week that God still promises to go with his people and promises to be with them, even when they fall, and how important that is. And how God, how Moses, even there in that week, saw the glory of God. Remember that picture of God when his prayers to show me your glory, God, and God showed him the glory, and so much so that his face shone. And that was the last week that we talked about God shining through his people, how we need to be kind of like that. How we need to be so full of God that his presence just shines through us. And it reminds me again of a passage in Philippians 2, how we need to become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and deprived generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. And even though that was a longer series, it encouraged me week after week to look to God in the middle of any wilderness that I might be experiencing, or wilderness that others might be experiencing, and how taking us through that and knowing that God still leads us through these times, and even though we might not see him exactly how. And it was also during that series that we had a wonderful time of bus busting. There's no sound for this one, I don't think, but we can put our sound in there. We had busted our buses during that series, and then we raised over $200 for our missionary children during that time as well. So keep filling up those buses for next year, and we'll do one of those next year as well. So that was our series on A Way Through the Wilderness. But that brought us up to Thanksgiving. And for the Thanksgiving week, I continued in the book of Exodus, talking about the overwhelming thankfulness that the children of Israel had for God bringing them through the wilderness, and for how they, at that mountain, built this tabernacle, and how they all worked together with their finances and brought all their earrings and gold that they had plundered from the Egyptians, and how they were thankful for those trials that they went through that they could now give to God. And how wonderful that was, that they had thankfulness, and that gave them to worship God in a new way. It urged them to be overwhelmingly thankful in all their thanksgivings to God, and that encouraged us to be overwhelmingly thankful as well. And then finally, I'm running low on time here, but tidings of comfort and joy was our theme for Christmas and for Advent this year. We celebrated the things of Christmas, the story that brings us so much comfort and joy, God's timing, his proclamations, his Savior, his love for us, and gave us so much to look forward to, so much security, so much comfort, and so much happiness. And many times we looked at the stories and passages that were not directly related to the Christmas story. I've included Mariah Carey's song, "All I Want for Christmas Is You," and how God wants that for us. And I hope you all enjoyed the Christmas program that the kids did. That's the best picture. I didn't have a good picture of them online there that I did, but that's the best picture I could find for the children. So they did such a good job, and they did a good job portraying the shepherds who witnessed the Messiah's birth, and you all did a good job filling in as the angel choir. And of course, who could forget the famous Christmas suit there that made its appearance this year on that one. So it was a wonderful season that was filled with tidings of comfort and joy. So that kind of sums up our year of 2021. So where are we going in year 2022? What's in store for us? Well, I picked for this year Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And we already recited it this morning, but let's do it one more time. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now you'll notice in there, there's two kinds of hope in that passage. It's God's hope for us and our hope that we can give to others. And so that's kind of going to be our theme for this next year, because we're going to look at what the Bible says about hope. We're going to define what hope means. We're going to look at how hope has been given to us through various means in the Bible, through his word, through his messages, through what Jesus has done for us. And we'll define what hope is. Hope is not just an irrational expectation or a glimmer of something that might happen, maybe somewhere. That's not what hope is in the Bible. Hope is something that's a strong desire for something better, but it's rooted firmly in who the character of God is. And that's what we're going to look at. Who God is and his character and how we can put hope in him. And we'll do a short series on later on at the beginning of the year about the hope of heaven and the glories that are wait for us that we can hope for in that. And that's the glorious hope that we have as Christians and one I want more people in this world to know about and to experience one of these days. And I'm going to tackle also during this beginning part of the year is the second coming of Jesus and how Jesus is coming again and kind of maybe even some of the events that lead up to that coming as far as our timeline. And because Titus calls this our blessed hope in his book in Titus, the hope that Jesus is coming again. We'll talk a little bit about, like I said, circumstances leading up to his return. And all that is just going to happen in that first half of the year. And so I hope that'll give you kind of an insight on what we're going to do. But my hope for you this morning is that you'll commit yourself to, again, coming and worshiping with us together. Continue to grow and worship and support this church. That we'll all grow together, not just in our own hopefulness, but that we'll be able to be people who will spread that hope. Again, that we may overflow with the hope that God gives to us. So I hope that we find that hope so overwhelming that it just overflows through us by our Holy Spirit.